Hello and welcome to the £1 Movie Podcast. I'm your host Wayne and this is episode 22. If you stumble blindly through the internet and you've come to my little podcast, well, welcome along. There's 21 episodes for you to go back and have a listen to. And if not, welcome along to episode 22. And if you're not sure what the hell this is and you think this bloke from the Black Country is just babbling, well, I am. But also, I've been out to anywhere you can buy a cheap DVD movie, CEX, charity shops, all those sort of places, and I found a film for a pound or less. Basically, just to see what a pound will get you. It might be Oscar winner, it might be B-movie, tits and all, sort of a film. On episode 22, I have a very special guest. I have my long-term friend and long-term podcaster. He's from the You Haven't Heard This Music podcast and the Adapted to Screen podcast. He's my friend, Richie Armour.
Hello, you say that like it's not your podcast or so. It's like, from my other podcast, You Haven't Heard This Music podcast.
I like to give you the limelight, as it were, when I have guests, when Neil comes on as well, he gets the from the You Haven't Heard This Music podcast treatment as well.
I'd prefer to have been referred to as my gaffer over the other podcast,
or as somebody referred to you on Twitter recently, the man, the myth, the legend, I believe.
Yes.
Anyway, enough of this joviality. This is episode 22, like I say, and on episode 22, we will be watching and talking about 2006's Beer League.
Now coming to bat is Artie DeVenger. He enters today's game with a blood alcohol content of 0.16.
Nice!
A few kids scoring at home, that is an impressive twice the legal limit.
Yo!
Ball bag.
For Artie DeVenzo.
Oh, nice hustle, Artie.
Life has always been a swing.
What are you killing?
How are you doing?
And a miss.
Look at yourself. You're an unemployed drunk. And you still live with your mother.
I may tiramisu, you kids want some.
No, Mom! Go back inside!
I see you on the field, loser.
Next year, one of you teams is gonna have to play in a different league. You jerk decided on the field.
Hey, are we done here? Cause I'm losing my buzz.
This summer.
If we start practicing, I think we got a shot.
Step up. Shape up.
Oh, my dear Lord.
And sober up.
How about a toast?
Huh? Toast my I got a so bad I could drown a horse.
All right, that put a damper on a toast.
Artie Lang.
What do you say you take one for the team right now, huh?
Ralph Macchio.
You sweat when you eat.
So did Babe Ruth.
Artie Lang's Beer League.
What do you guys want?
I'll have an egg white omelet made with very little oil, dry wheat toast, and grapefruit juice.
You know, in Massachusetts, that order could legally marry a dude. Now, if you put a construction helmet on that order, it could join the village people.
Right, Beer League from 2006. It is directed by Frank Sebastiano. It stars Artie Lang, Ralph Macchio, Cara Bueno, and Anthony De... I can't read my own writing. DeSando. It is a 15 certificate. It is a comedy sports film. It has a budget of $2.8 million, and it grossed a whopping... How much do you reckon it fetched in worldwide, Rich?
Probably doubled it, actually. Not worldwide.
Yeah.
Probably not so much. It probably broke even.
No, it didn't even break it anywhere near it. It was $2.8 million to make the film. It was $472,000 is made back.
Jesus.
So, next to buggery bugger all. It has an IMDb rating of 5.9 out of 10 and a Rotten Tomato score of 27%. I'm going to read you the DVD synopsis now.
Sorry, what was the Rotten Tomatoes?
27%.
Fucking hell.
So very low. So, DVD synopsis. This reads, straight from the back of the DVD. Artie is an unemployed, drunken loser who plays in a small-town softball league in New Jersey with his ragtag group of misfit friends. But when his team is threatened with permanent expulsion from the local league by Artie's lifelong nemesis, they must rally together and move from last place to first in just one season. But can they put aside their partying long enough to salvage their pride and become the champions they were never meant to be for one brief shining moment? Well, we shall see. A bit of background on the film. Artie Lang stars in the film. He also co-wrote the film and he co-produced it. At this time, he was working on the Howard Stern show and pretty much this is his only film credit. He's got a few bits and bobs. Scott Baio auditioned for the film. He's Chachi in Happy Days, Scott Baio. And the producers of the film, they'd already cast Ralph Macchio in the film and they said, I think it'll be too 80s. It'll be too much like... 80s throwback, which is funny to me because in 2006, that was probably a bad thing. In 2021, that would have been amazing. Would have pushed this film a bit further up the scale because you've got those two guys in it. Oh, and you got Laurie Metcalf, who plays Artie's mom in the film. She was actually only 12 years older than him in real life, so not really old enough to be his mom, to be honest. Frank Sebastiano, he's the director. He is a writer, director, producer, known for his work on Saturday Night Live and David Letterman. And Beer League is his only credit, and he's mainly known for writing, nothing else. Artie Lang, who plays Artie, is from New Jersey. He has 37 actor credits, including stuff like Elf, Old School, and the spoof film Shriek, If You Know What I Did Last Friday the 13th. You know, that fantastic spoof film. You ever seen that one, Rich?
No, never heard of it, to be honest.
It's the one with Tiffany Amber Thiessen in, I believe, which is the only reason I watch it. Yeah.
No, still haven't seen it. I've never, no.
Yeah, I think it's a load of shit. He started his Artie Lang started his entertainment career as a stand-up comedian, as well as being an actor and radio presenter, and pretty much he struggled with drugs and addiction for most of his life. He went into rehab in 97, and then I've read recently that he also went in 2010 before completing it. I put he can only be described as a journeyman, really, with his career. He was a writer, comedian, actor, radio presenter, author, podcaster. He does the whole shebang. You know, he's one of those guys, throws his hands at everything. Ralph Macchio, obviously most famous for playing Danny LaRusso in The Karate Kid. He plays Maz in the film. He has 55 actor credits, including Crossroads, My Cousin Vinny, and Ugly Betty. He started his career in the late 70s in commercials, and he has been married to Phyllis Fierro since 1987. And to be fair, they both look really fucking good. He's 59 and she's 60, respectively. Cara Bueno plays Linda Salvo in the film. She has 76 actor credits to her name, including Stranger Things as Karen Wheeler. I don't remember Karen Wheeler. Do you remember Karen Wheeler from Stranger Things? She's one of the moms, but I couldn't tell you.
What? No.
No. Yeah, I'd wrap my brain up.
I'm not very good with films, to be honest, Wayne. I probably shouldn't be here. I'm not very good with music. I shouldn't have a music podcast, and I just like to put my hand at things.
You like books though, so you might, you know, you're a quarter, you're a third there.
I don't know, do I? Because I have to listen to audio books. I can't be asked to read.
Right, let's finish this sum up. Cara Bueno. She's done loads of TV. She's in The Sopranos, she's in Law and Order, all of those things. I guarantee you've seen her at some point. And she's married to an American businessman called Peter Thumb, who was president of a company called Ethos Water, who bought out Starbucks at the time he was president. Right, enough for that now. Critical response. Here we got Brian Ordorf from efilmcritic.com said, "For any supporter of bawdy cinema on a budget, Beer League could be considered something of a treat if you bring your standards all the way down." Big Picture Big Sound gives this film 2 stars, and David Kempler says, "It's stupid. It's not based on any sort of reality. The plot is both weak and without real purpose. On paper, Beer League is a total zero." And then he goes on to say, "I kind of enjoyed it." And I'm going to read you some Letterboxd reviews now because I quite like the Letterboxd reviews. This is a brand new thing. I've never done this one before. But it's got an average score of 2.7 on Letterboxd. A user called Simundo says, "Artie Lang is my spirit animal," and gives it 4 stars. X Story gives it 1 star and said, "We need to watch a terrible movie once in a while." And IHRBRT, which I think is Herbert, gives it 4.5 and says, what a movie, so perfect. So, bit of a mixed bag on the critical responses. But we'll move on now. What's your expectation of the film, Rich?
I had no expectation. I didn't do a read up on it. I just got the title, Beer League, and I didn't know what I expected. A comedy. That was it. That's all I expected. Some sort of comedy on along the veins of some maybe. I don't know why, but that German, was it Das Boot? I was thinking Das Boot. I was thinking something like that. I don't know why.
Das Boot is the. Funny enough, I've wrote that down as well. The film's called Beer Fest. Where they have to drink
beer. Is that the
They have to drink from the boot. Yeah. I've wrote that down as well, because that's what I'm sort of expecting, the same sort of thing. I think he's going to share some DNA with other silly comedies like Animal House and maybe Dodgeball via Major League, that sort of way around. Same with you, Rich. I've got no expectation. It could go either way. This could be a complete hidden gem. This could be a film that needs to be forgotten and never found again. I mean, as most of the critics have said, you know, it's going to be a very flimsy plot, and I think it's going to be very familiar and formulaic. But as long as they do it well, I don't think it really matters, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Right then, so if it's your first time here, you won't know this, but we haven't watched the film as yet. We're going to break now for an intermission while we go watch the film. We're back from watching the film, and if you do intend on finding Beer League, which my esteemed friend assures me is pretty hard to find, that's right, isn't it, Rich?
Yes, it's really fucking hard to find. I had to get it legally.
Well, I bought it from a car boot. It cost me 50p from a car boot, this one did.
I couldn't even get it on Amazon on DVD.
So, yeah, it's a very under-the-radar film. If you are going to go and watch a film, massive shout out to you. We are going to spoil the film from here on out. So spoilers ahead. You have been
spoiled itself.
Yeah. Spoil. That's what's going to happen from now on. Right. Initial reaction, Rich. What's your initial reaction to watching the film?
I didn't think it was a bad film. It was an easy watching film. There were some refreshing moments in it that it didn't follow the norm. It didn't follow the... There's like, I don't know, when it comes to comedy films, you've got like guidelines and lines that everybody follows. And this kind of stepped away from it. I wasn't sure about the casual racism.
it's like you're reading my notes, mate.
I enjoyed the way it highlighted the differences in racism. It's like racism isn't just racism. There's differences in racism.
Yeah. I'm the same as you. I mean, it's not massively PC in any way, and doesn't try to hide that it is. And it's probably
Donald Trump loved this film.
Yeah, it's this piece. This film is the least PC film I've watched in a long time. But that said, it made me laugh a few times, and the guys aren't pretending to be anything they're not. They're just average Joes. You know, and I quite like that. I mean, it's barely a story, to be honest. It's just fun and silly. That's it. Yeah. We'll break down the plot now anyway. So we start in the suburbs and we meet Artie, who is practicing his softball swing and doing some silly commentary. And in the first 90 seconds, we get the first homophobic slur from this little shitty kid who Artie chases off. Then we meet Ralph Macchio's character, who's called Maz, and he's getting ready to leave for a softball game while his missus gives him shit about him missing his daughter's recital. And there's a lovely running joke here about his little girl sucks at dancing anyway, so what's he missing? It's right the way throughout the film. We then enter the pantomime villain of the piece in Manganelli, who owns a gym and he's running for the mayor's office, and he's, you know, he's the local, he's the boy who done good and all the things, and doesn't he know it? He's a big sleazy bastard, and we see him leaving his office with some conquest again. And at this point, we had a blink and you miss it moment for Tina Fey, the writer of Mean Girls and untold comedies. This must be right at the start of her career. She's the girl who plays his receptionist at the gym. It's literally a throwaway scene. You know what I'm on about, Rich?
No. I thought Tina Fey had been going a lot longer than 2006. Oh, was this 2006 or 2016?
2006, this is, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
So this is just before she really makes a name for herself. So it's a throwaway. It's like 10 seconds, if that, on screen. Mm. And then she's gone. Anyway, we go to the softball field, and we meet Ed's bar, and they're playing Manganelli's gym. So basically everybody we just met, and Artie steps up to the plate. You know, it's just like a Sunday league football game. They're just Manganelli's giving Artie shit about being a slob and living with his mom, and you know, the cocksuckers are thrown all over the place, and you know, your mom's done this and this and that and the other. It was very reminiscent of being out on a Sunday morning.
Bro, look at yourself.
You're an unemployed drunk. You play softball in corduroys, and you still live with your mother.
You shave your body hair, wear Speedos down ashore, and root for the Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, that's America's team, asshole.
Not in Jersey, asshole. We grew up 15 minutes from Giant Stadium. You're a fucking Cowboys fan?
You're just jealous. My softball team won this league 4 years in a row. Going on 5.
This year you are not getting that trophy.
Oh, no? Who's gonna stop me, you?
And holy shit, is that Boyle from Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Yes, it is. That rocked my world, that did.
Yes.
Just out of nowhere.
Yeah, he was a bit more of a... He's become more of an overactor in recent years, but he was a bit more calm there.
Yeah, it's really strange because you're that used to seeing Boyle in the dark, you know, the drab beige clothing, and he's clean shaven, and then this, he's got a bandana on and a pair of denim shorts, and he's all scrub, you know, scruffy and stubbly. Manganelli's gym has won the league 4 times, we find out. Artie smashes Manganelli's pitch but forgets to run, and they catch him out. And we get a great, brilliant moment from a brilliant character actor called Seymour Cassell, who plays the old man, who plays Dirt. He slams his hat down and says, "Oh, you guys disappoint me as much as my kids." And it was about that moment where I went, "I'm into this film. This made me laugh, that has." And we see that the team absolutely get battered. Back at Ed's bar, we see the guys drinking and joking. And, you know, you get the family man who's the former high school player who still thinks he's got it, and the other indistinct players, and the token black guy who... And it's a really nasty attempt at satire here, using the N-word, which I won't go into, but yeah, it wasn't for me, that at all. So the next game, it's a small league. I mean, it must be a really small league because they play Manganelli's team probably about 4 times or 5 times in the course of this. So it must be a team of about 5 or 6 teams or something like that. It's basically the same as Sunday morning football, like I said, you know, Artie and
I thought that.
Yeah, yeah, it is. That's all it is. It's just the same as that. The passage of time in the film is all over the place, isn't it? You don't really, you know, they've played a game and they're in the bar 1 minute, then back on the field the next. I'm assuming that softball would be like on a Saturday morning or a Saturday afternoon or something like that. So you don't really... the passage of time doesn't really mean anything. Now, you don't see anybody at work in this. It's only on the softball field or in the pub. That's it. At the next game, it's Ed's bar versus Manganelli's gym again.
Come on, let's get this guy. Let's get this punk. He's nothing. He's a loser. He's an asshole. A cocksucker. He's a total piece of shit.
You shut up, fatso.
Hey, watch the name call.
And Artie trips Manganelli over. And the two teams end up in a massive brawl where they all get arrested. Now, at the police station, the police chief says, "I'm fucking sick of this. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to keep coming out to your field once or twice a year to stop this. So, at the end of the season, whoever finishes lower is being removed from the league. You won't be playing no more." That's the whole sort of jeopardy of the film right there. If Ed's Diner finishes below Manganelli's gym, then that's it. They won't be in the same league. They'll have to go somewhere else. And there's a whole thing about, the next league's, you know, a district over, and it takes, you know, an hour and a half to get there and all this sort of stuff. And it's nothing. You know, that's the whole jeopardy of the film. It's just a nothing moment. I really like the satirical joke here, Rich, with both the teams are out of the jail talking to the sheriff.
That's what I was going to mention. Yeah, brilliant.
And the only player who's still locked up is the black player. And he stands up and he says, the sheriff says, "Are there any questions?" And he goes, "Yeah, why am I the only one who's still locked up?" And the sheriff goes, "I'll get you in a minute." And it's like, this film is 17 years old. And we haven't changed as a society. You know, America hasn't changed. It's actually worse. I don't understand.
I don't think that was a right... That's more of a jab at the...
The
law. Then, I mean, there are moments where you think that that's a blatantly racist moment in the film, whereas this one was jabbing at the law and the... The police in America.
Yeah, all right. It's really well measured and it's really well thought out. And it's, for me, it's reminiscent. And don't get me wrong, I don't throw this name around lightly, but it's very Mel Brooks. You know, it's got moments of Blazing Saddles in that joke. That's how it feels. That's how satirical it feels to me.
Yes.
We then see Artie, Maz, and Johnny go to the bar to lick their wounds, and We find out that Maz's girlfriend is related to Manganelli. They are cousins, and Artie is Maz's best man for the upcoming wedding. It's just a bit of an exhibition dump there, just to let you know what's going on. The boys go to a diner after the bar, and Linda Salvo turns up. She comes in with her friends drunk. Now, there's some massive red flags here, isn't there? Artie gets Maz to give him some money because he slept with Linda a couple of times before when she's been pissed. It was like, oh, that doesn't sit well with me too much, to be honest. And our hero's
I've got no problems with that. I've done that loads of times myself. Probably will again.
I shouldn't be laughing at that. Anyway, so the next morning, we see that Linda wakes up and says, I'm sick of doing this with you. You know, I end up drunk and we end up having sex together. This ironed that moment out for me, to be honest, because it's like, he didn't do it against her will and she has done it before, and it's sort of like a comforty thing for her. And then there's a moment where she spills out something about going to see a psychiatrist and something to do with that's why she ends up in bed with him, which, it was a bit too rough.
Do you know what? I quite liked it. I thought it was a break from the norm. Again, like I said earlier, not sticking to the normal is a guy falls in love with a girl, the guy can't get the girl, so the guy has to change his life and he has to do better to work his way through the film to get the girl at the end. He's already got the girl.
Yeah, he's got it.
In fact, it's with those stories, you're always on the edge of your seat. There's an anxiety that comes with it. It's like, is he going to get her? You want him to get with her, but you don't know. I mean, you do know because it's obvious, because it's a love interest.
Yeah.
But is he going to get with her with this? He's already got her, and you're just glad he's with her because, you know, they're both fucking losers and they're both good for each other.
Yeah. I'm making an observation here. The language of the script is trying for realistic, like something like The Sopranos. I mean, if you're making a film in New Jersey where this is set, then you can't not sort of, especially in 2006, you can't not look at The Sopranos because that's being made in the same state with the same actors, you know, and literally with the same actors. You know, Linda Salvo is in The Sopranos as a guy later on who's in The Sopranos. You know, I guarantee some of these guys were extras in The Sopranos. So, but they're trying for this realistic script and language, but this is a silly comedy. So the homophobic slurs and like the lack of PC comments, they made me flinch a lot. And some of them made me sort of like, ooh, you know, recoil a little bit. And I'm just saying this in there. Go on.
You know what it felt like to me? You know, you got that person who will say something that's like, mate, that's blatantly racist. And I go, yeah. I'm not racist. I've got a black friend.
Yeah.
This is like, they've made this racist this comedy. And they go, no, it's all right, because I've got a black person in the film.
Yeah. I don't think the film is inherently racist at all. I don't think there's a beat of they're doing any of this for controversy or because they are racist people. They're trying for realism. That's what I'm sort of heading towards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it could be misconstrued, though, because it's not... I mean, I can see that, but other people, I don't think, will see that, and they'll think, this is just a racist film, and I think there's a lot of people that will see it that way.
Right, let's move on from the race talking.
We see a montage of this film.
Yeah, it really is. We see a montage of the team getting beaten heavily a lot, and then Artie takes Linda out on an actual date to an Italian, and they get to know one another. Artie tells Linda this story about his dad being a cable installer, and how he died on the job. I think he says that he fell off a roof. I only bring this up because that is a true story. That's exactly what happened to Artie Lang's dad in real life. He was a cable installer and he died falling off a roof. Yeah. So that is a true story within the film. So I'd like to think that some of this film is actually sort of semi-autobiographical with Artie, because he wrote this film when he was in rehab, I think, under the guise of Howard Stern. And Howard Stern was like his sponsor, trying to sort of push him away from the drink and the drugs. On the drive home and at Artie's house, they fool Linda and Artie fool around, and he gets cock-blocked by his mom, the brilliant Laurie Metcalf, who turns up. She turns up like three times in this film, and each time just steals the film for me. She's just fantastic. We see that Artie's trying to turn his life around now. He decides to go and get a job. And he gets a job landscaping for Joseph Canascoli, who is Vito from The Sopranos. So again, you know, this is set in New Jersey. And obviously this chap had 5 minutes to spare. So his first job is to cut Manganelli's lawn. Well, of course it is. What you know, New Jersey is massive. What are the chances of him, his first job is going to be cutting his rival's lawn? And Manganelli, of course, comes out in those fantastic red Speedos.
Yes.
I've got to be honest, he's got a fucking fair body on him, ain't he?
he's skinny. He needs a bacon sandwich or something.
He's Olympic skinny. Olympic swimmer skinny.
That's what he looks like.
He's got
to be in his late 40s, there, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, that's what softball is, isn't it? It's for baseball of people who can't play basketball.
I had to look that up. I had to go find out why is the difference between baseball and softball, apart from fuck all, really.
You know,
there's a few minor differences. The bat's bigger, the ball's bigger and lighter. It's basically not that to sound chauvinistic, but it's basically baseball for girls.
Yeah, it's like. It's like walking football when you get past a certain age in this country. It's the same. It's the same thing. It's just people who still want to play. It's like five-a-side football. That's what it is. It's for so people who still want to. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I had to compare the difference between them two and rounders. And Americans probably don't even know what the fuck rounders is.
No.
That's just something we created. That's somewhere. It's like kids baseball.
It's rounders is cricket for English people. Rounders is baseball for people who like cricket in Britain. If that makes any sense. No, that doesn't. It's a heavier ball than baseball.
And no, it's English people going, we're going to make it our own.
Yeah, I love rounders, personally. It's less complicated than baseball as well.
Probably.
Where are we now? So the rival teams face off again. I mean, again, this is the third time in this film these people have played each other and we're only 20 minutes in. I don't understand how that works. Well, Ed's bar need a home run to win and Artie screws the pooch and you know, they catch him
wrong.
Out. Well, it's true, though. He gets caught out.
I don't know, baby. Yeah!
Devonzo, you shithead. Watching you hit into that double play makes me wish I were 35 years younger.
I know, so you could kick my ass.
No, because I could kick your ass right now. But 35 years ago, I could have loaned your parents the money for an abortion.
At the bar, they discussed plans for Mazzy's bachelor party and a lady called the pitching machine.
Oh, yeah. Shoot. And the words were, shoot ping pong balls out of her snatch.
Yep. Some of the Englishisms that come out in this, by the way. I went, wow, I wasn't expecting that. That's one of them. and the lads discuss Linda's promiscuity as well as Artie's promiscuity. And it turns out he slept with 73 women, but he can only count six of them because the others have been prostitutes. Artie and Linda are in bed together and they share some sweet moments. There is actual genuine chemistry between Artie and Carla. Is it Carla or Cara? I can't remember her name.
Cara,
between Artie and Linda. There's actually a genuine chemistry between them. And they share this sweet moment, and he tells Linda that all the shit with softball and all the work stuff doesn't seem to matter because he's got her, which I found really nice. You know, he's a fuck up, this guy, and he's found this girl who sort of made him question his own behaviour. And then they finish off with the fantastic moment where they have sex. You go through the wall because he says, oh, my mum's asleep, she won't hear us. And Laurie Metcalf is reading in bed and the wall's banging and you get those fantastic lines.
Hit me in the balls.
Punch
me in the back.
That was it.
Punch me harder.
Pinch my nipples, squeeze my balls, punch me in the back.
Punch me harder. Punch me harder.
Punch me in the back, got me. Artie talks to the team anyway, and he says he wants to beat Manganelli, and he comes up with a fantastic idea about how they're going to do this. And you know what his success is? It's practice, because nobody else in the league will practice, so practicing will pay off. To be honest with you, I think that's a great idea. Nobody else is practicing, but you guys will. It makes sense, really.
That is just awful.
Really, Art? I thought I hit that pretty good.
Oh, no, your hitting's fine. I'm talking about that disgusting Guido pink shirt. Go home and change it.
All right, technically, this is fuchsia.
Out of my sight! Go! I'm gonna throw up! Jesus Christ!
I'm going to see my brajol. Let's get to it!
Anyway, practice pays off, and we see that the team starts winning. Artie's still cutting lawns, and he cuts ice suck cock into Manganelli's lawn. Now, my question to you, Rich, is, can anybody see this? Because his lawn's flat. So from the general person walking
they
by...
They can from the sky.
Are you actually going to be seeing it from the sky, though? if you're walking down the street, all it'll just look like is, oh, somebody's missed some, you know, the grass is a bit longer in those places. It's a good joke, but it was like, I don't know why he's done that. We see Artie and Linda getting closer. They play carnival games together, and they even look cute together. Onto the bachelor party after this. And for Maz. And it's exactly as you'd expect this bachelor party.
It's not what I expected, because this is another thing. This is where it breaks away from the norm as well. Because in the norm, in every other film of its kind, you know that he's going to fuck up, he's going to end up shagging someone, he's going to end up fingering someone in the corner or whatever, and then it's going to get back to the missus, and then there's going to be the argument, and oh, it didn't mean nothing to me, mean more to me, and then the break up, and then he's got to try and win her back again, but not this one. No, nothing like that.
I mean, it is as a whole, the bachelor party is as you'd expect. It's, you know, there's boobs. There's obviously our good friend, the pitching machine, who's literally, she lies on her back, pops table tennis balls out of her pussy.
Minge.
Yeah, minge. Insert lady fun parts slang term here. And he's hitting them with a baseball bat in the bar. There's lots of boobs, there's lots of sleaze hijinks. You know, Boyle's character gets taken off to the... that was really good, actually. He gets taken off into the toilets to have a blowjob with one of the prostitutes. And he comes out holding his cock. So what happened? Did she bite? No, the other one came in and was upset and punched her in the mouth. Brilliant. We see that Gina's father's turned up. That's Maz's fiance. Right at the same time that Maz is getting stripped by the strippers, he turns up and he ends up attacking Artie, and it all turns into, you know, like a bit of a brawl. During the cleanup, Mangalini comes over to antagonise Artie and basically insinuates that he's slept with Linda. And when she used to use the gym, Artie confronts Linda on this new revelation. And she says, yeah, but it was 2 years ago. I don't know what your problem is. Before she knows what's going on, he's broke up with her. And rightly so, she loses her shit and throws food at him, which I think is a decent call. But again, it's to show you that Artie's still a bit of a fuck up and he can't, you know, he's...
Can I just interject a moment you've missed?
Go on.
Danny LaRusso's brother comes into the bachelor party as a copper, because he's a copper from a different state. Oh. Everybody shits the pants.
Yeah.
And I can't think of the black geezer's name. He panics and throws the coke at the barman's face. I had to watch it four times.
Sorry, I missed that.
And then after all the announcements have been made, and it's okay, the copper goes, hey, black guy, fuck me up with coke.
You can see, people, from this, that this is that's the kind of comedy they're going for. Art tells his teammates that he's broke up with Linda, and they all agree that this is a really big mistake. And we see that Maz is scared that Gina's going to find out about what happened at the bachelor party, but all the guys say no man will violate the bachelor code. Now, this is my favorite scene in the whole film. This, it's a montage of going through all the people who are at the bachelor party and all their wives going, so what happened at the bachelor party, and every single one of them just go nothing. Nothing. Nothing happened.
Apart from the old man.
Yeah.
It's been 40 years, and you still won't tell me what happens at one bachelor party. Because you can tell me, and he just goes, fuck off.
The montage finishes with basically one of the guys saying, nobody's going to tell their wives what happened because they don't want to be left. And then it goes to Boyle's character, who is this guy called Jolo. And he's told his wife, and we see them leaving the house. She's got the kids in arms, and he's going, oh, please, please don't leave. And she says, you told me that's why you watched porn. We have a quick couple of throwaway scenes here. Gina is concerned that Artie will mess up the wedding. I mean, I would be too as well. He's got obviously a long beaten track record. And there's a blink and the miss and you miss it moment line thrown in about one of the other teams in the league has thrown a game, and now if they carry on winning, they can make the playoffs. They can propel Ed's... because this team has thrown a game, they've been propelled into the playoffs. So they've got to the playoffs by accident. Archie tries to get a date for the wedding, and he ends up phoning Linda. This is one of the missteps of the film for me, one of the really big missteps of the film. So you go to Linda, who's listening to Artie on the phone, and she's in bed with the black guy. I'm going to have to find out his name, so I'll keep calling him the black guy. Right, Tim.
Oh.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to think that's the white guy.
I know. It's ridiculous. Anyway, she's in bed with Tim, who is the aforementioned black guy. Arthur decides... I have no idea what runs through his head here, which is it's a good character trait. It's like you've exhausted all other options. And when he says, don't worry, I've got a backup plan about taking a wedding date, I honestly thought he was going to take his mum. That's what I thought he was going to take. And it was like going to be the whole Manganiello giving him shit about him taking his mum because that's all the only woman he can get. And he doesn't. It completely subverts that. And he takes the pitching machine.
I didn't even consider the mother. I honestly sat there and thought, well, I'm guessing it's somebody that's not been mentioned. I can't think of anybody. But then the pitching machine, I thought, the pitching machine.
It's, in the history of idea, a bad idea, that's got to be up there, that one. Anyway, on the way to the church, the pitching machine is taking... Is she taking ketamine or is she taking coke?
Cocaine. Copious amounts.
While driving the car. Horrendously, and he tells her to slow down, that they're going to be on time, but she just carries on going at speed and she runs a stop sign and they get arrested. And this is one of those moments you're saying, Rich, which is a bit refreshing for me. There's no, oh, this has happened at the wedding and Mazzy's going to do this. Artie's going to do this. Artie doesn't make the wedding. He misses the wedding completely. He gets locked up in jail till the next day. And he's let out of jail at 5 a.m. the next morning. I like that. That was well thought out. That was a bit of grounded in reality. This is what happened. You got caught with a prostitute doing coke, running the stop sign. So, yeah, you're going to be in jail till the next day.
Yeah.
And then, again, not sure of the passage of time here. You know, they've just got married, Maz and Gina. But then the next time we see the gang together, they're back at the sports field. And Artie's trying to apologise to Maz and saying... Oh, you know, I'm sorry this happened. And Maz is having none of it. He's saying, you've been this way since we were 10 years old. You stole my dad's ice cream truck, for God's sake. This is ridiculous. And as all this is going on, the old man, Dirt, dies on the side of the pitch, has a heart attack and just dies. And his death reunites the team. They have a bit of a heart-to-heart and they decide they're going to do it for Dirt.
Get pissed off.
Yeah, at his wake, get absolutely blind drunk.
It's 3 hours before the main game.
Yeah, 3 hours before the main game. They get absolutely blind drunk. They try and leave, and Ed, the bar owner, refuses to let them drive. He takes the keys off all of them, and they say, well, we've got to get there. And they all look at Ed, and they just basically clown car all the way to... They're hanging out the windows and everything on the way to this this softball game. They turn up in the funeral clothes. They haven't even had time to go and get their jerseys. And they're all wasted and just playing, falling over, being sick, sleeping in the outfield, everything. Art goes up to bat, and just as he goes up to bat, Linda calls him over and says, oh, can we have a chat after this? And they say they miss each other. Manganiello tries to embarrass Linda, and it backfires. She calls him needle dick and thanks him for the clap.
I'll meet you in my office at the gym after the game.
Shut the fuck up, needle dick, and thanks for the herpes.
Ball bag.
What an asshole. Complete asshole.
Jerk off.
This town is 98% skanks.
Artie hits a home run at the start of the last innings and the fight back begins. After much montaging, it comes down to Artie making it round the diamond. And in the last moment, after diving towards the plate against Manganiello, at the same time the ball is thrown, we see they fall into a heap. And it's like, oh, who's got there? We're waiting on the umpire's decision, and Manganiello's caught the ball, and Art's lost the game. So Ed's dying to lose the game, and are forced to lose the league. Again, what you were saying, Rich, refreshing. The good guys don't win this time.
I did expect them to win it.
Yeah, absolutely, and they didn't. The team decide they won't break up. They'll just find a new league for next year. And in the confusion of celebration in Manganiello's gym, Artie steals the trophy and drives off with it with Linda. Yeah. It's just a good end.
And they're going to pawn it for a good night out, I think.
That's it. He said he's going to leave a note on it in his gym after he's thrown it through the window. And after all these hijinks, we arrive at the end. Right, then. So, what's your reaction to this, Rich? Sum it up for me.
Sum it up. Do you know what? I enjoyed it. It was a good film. It's not that for me. A good film is made up of memorable parts that you can quote. Like one of my favourite films of all time is Snatch, and I can sit down with somebody who's also watched it, and we'll just spend the whole night quoting it. We've sat down and we've quoted many parts of this film, albeit very racist parts mostly, but it's because of the way it's done. It's not. Like I say, it's satire. But yeah, there's memorable parts in it, like silly little things like, you've got with Linda, did you tell her about the herpes? Oh, no, it's okay, it's fine, because she's got it as well.
Yeah.
So it's just memorable, and for me, that I've got a message about that.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Shit.
Hold on. I love that. Was great.
Yeah, it was a good film. It wasn't exceptional. I don't think it deserved the low ratings that Rotten Tomatoes give it. But yeah, overall, it was enjoyable. If nothing else, it made me want to go and watch a more wholesome baseball film. And then the next day, I went and watched The Sandlot again, because it's an absolute fucking forgotten classic.
The Sandlot is an absolute banger, mate. I'm with you all the way on that one. For me, there's obviously some problematic issues with the films, especially in the use of its language. The deep-seated racism that's in there. But these guys are rogues, all of them. And I think that you could happily have a night out with these guys and then you'd never see them again. You'd go out, get absolutely bollocked with them and then think, I'm never doing that with those fellas again.
These fellas are my mates. Shit you not. I could pretty much put one of those characters to one of the characters in my group of friends easily. You've met them.
Yeah, which one are
you've met them? Oh, I don't know.
But you've got to be Maz, haven't you?
Maz, what the? Yeah.
He's got it together. No, he's got family.
I haven't got it together, Wayne.
No. I mean, we'll give it to the story. The story is as sketchy as all hell. It doesn't matter, but it doesn't need to matter. You know, it's a flimsy idea in which to hang some silly shots, some silly comedy. That's what it's there for. And I think, for the whole, I think it does its job. This made me laugh several times. And because the guys aren't anything other than what they are, it works for me. You know, I mean, Artie Lang, he's never starred in anything, Artie Lang. And I think he's really good in this. I think he's got that goofy, schlubby everyman vibe that's, you know, he is an unappealing. That's the thing. When he gets with Linda, because you know he's good at heart and he's just a bit of a fuck up, he can straighten himself out. You know, you root for him, and that's the thing, isn't it? I can't excuse all of the film, and I won't excuse all of the film, but this film, it made me laugh. It made me laugh a lot. It was not fun to watch it. It's well shot as well. For a film that cost £2 million by a first-time director, you know, it's well shot. I've watched films that have got a budget of, you know, 100 million and they look like Battlefield Earth, for one. Absolute fucking polished shit, that. And this has got nothing of the budget of that, and it's got far more heart. But yeah, it puts me in mind.
There were moments in it, because like you said that the it's basically a wharf to hang out. Bits of comedy on, and that's what it felt in parts. Though it felt like they were just shooting one-liners, for the sake of it. They didn't have anything really to do with the film. It's like there's a scene in it where the old guy says something to someone, and they say something back, and it felt like it didn't need to be there.
Yeah,
and it just felt like it was them trying. It almost felt like they was trying to be funny in certain parts. Mm.
It's funny because I think sometimes they just forgot they were making a film and it went, oh shit, we need to put a bit of plot in here. And that's where you get those little those little exposition dumps of, oh, I think he's going to ruin the wedding. But we are now in the playoffs. You know, oh shit, this is a baseball film, isn't it? Oh, beer league, by the way. They don't drink much beer in this at all. It's all fucking shots. They should call it whiskey league.
I could get behind that.
I mean, this film does share a lot of DNA with Adam Sandler films. In the way it's you know, the schlubby every sort of everyman sort of thing. And it's got more than a bit in common with Animal House and Meatballs and all those bawdy, sexy, farty comedies of the 80s as well. But yeah, so we'll move on to the verdict now, Rich.
gentlemen of the jury, leads to verdict.
Considering all the facts and arguments presented by both counsel, and after careful deliberation,
the jury will retire and consider the evidence.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
Better be judged!
The last little bit. How much would you pay for this out of a pound?
If I went on Amazon, I know that Wayne's doing a podcast, need to watch the film for the podcast, and it's on Amazon, and if it was £10, I wouldn't have bought it.
No.
£9, no. £8, no. £7, no. £6, we'll say £5, but I'd pay £5 for this.
Fair enough. That's not how my system works, but I'll go with that. I was going, it's out of a pound, I'd pay 65p for this. I paid 50 pence, so I'm...
Oh, it's out of a pound?
Yeah.
How much would I pay for it? I'd pay... But that's not knowing what the film's about as well.
Yeah.
Knowing what the film's about, I won't pay for it again. I wouldn't pay for it anyway, but... I'd say £5. Yeah.
I've seen a lot worse than this, and this at least has some genuine laughs. It made me laugh. I mean, the characters throughout the film, apart from a couple of the main ones, are forgettable, and that's not a problem. It's not meant to be that. And it's less than 90 minutes long, so, you know, that really does help its cause, because if it's a bit longer, it could be too much. So, yeah. So, yeah, I'm happy to have 65p out of that, definitely.
I think... so you don't think it's worth a pound?
No, the scale runs as £1 being 10, as it is, and zero being nothing. So it's like 65 is 6.5 out of 10. You know what I mean? That's the sort
I'd
of scale.
I'd pay a pound for this. I'd pay a pound for this.
It's 6.5. You know, we're talking about other films I've got.
You've
films
got to take
you
your hat off to them for taking a risk as well, because a lot of the stuff in it is very risky and a lot of comedy. A lot of writers, like you mentioned, Adam Sandler, I don't think he'd be willing to take the risk that they've took with some of the... You know, you could say that that's the reason the film hasn't done as well as it could have, but I think the film would have done even worse if it didn't take that risk.
Yeah, the difference, I think, between Adam Sandler and these guys is really simple. Adam Sandler reached a point in his career where he was very cynical making his films, and those films weren't funny, they were cynical. You know, you go back to his earlier stuff, there's heart in there and there's meaning. You go to his later stuff and it seems like it's, I'm just going to do a silly character and I'm going to get my friends in a film and we're all going to get paid for it. And these guys, there's no cynicism in this. It's they've gone out to make a film that's quite, you know, close to Artie Lang's heart. He's trying to make a film that is, like I say, I think semi-autobiographical. But yeah, it's a decent watch. I enjoyed it a lot, and I would have paid 65p happily out of the pound for this. Right, so that's it, Rich. We are at the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for coming along and joining me on episode 22. If you want to find Rich, where can they find you, Rich, and your podcasts?
They can find our podcast at www.yhhtmpc.com. It's a music podcast called You Haven't Heard This Music Podcast, a podcast about less-known music by less-known artists that me and Wayne believe are as good, if not better than that, in the mainstream. Go check it out.
And you've got another podcast as well, haven't you, that does...
The Adapted to Screen podcast.
There you go.
We compare books with their counterpart on screen. Well, their on-screen counterpart. We haven't done any for a bit, but I did speak to Phil recently. We're going to do Jack Reacher next.
Ooh, nice.
So, yeah.
Yes, he gets some very nice Hollywoody type guests on your show, doesn't he?
He gets some well-known people.
Yes, he does. Check out both those podcasts. They're both worth a listen. Obviously, I'm in one of them, so definitely check out You Haven't Heard This Music Podcast, but also check out Adapted to Screen, because Phil's been on this podcast as well, as Rich has as well now.
Numerous times, hasn't he?
Just twice. Well, oh, numerous, just twice. That's twice, yeah. We've reached the end. Thank you, Rich. Thanks again. And I've been Wayne, and this has been the £1 Movie Podcast. See you again soon.